New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Wednesday, the 13th day of June, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. We are gathered around with a lot of wacky stuff in the stack today. I guess that we could start with the freshest news first and work backward, but why don't we do that? So the Fed raised interest rates. I know. You just fell off your chair, didn't you? I know. So the Fed just finished their meeting, and for the second time this year, they've raised interest rates, and they are probably going to. They're forecasting two more times this year for a total of four times. So, what do you expect with the unemployment rate down and inflation starting to heat up? And so they are back to approaching normality of trying to raise interest rates to keep the fuel of inflation, keep it tampered so it doesn't go up too fast because inflation is starting to pick up. By the way, inflation now up 2.8% annually, and your wages up 2.6% off the last jobs report. So inflation is eating up all of your wage increases and then a little bit more. So then on top of that, the Fed says we're raising interest rates by another 0.25%. Puts it into the range of 1.75 to 2%. So it's a 2% rate for the central bank. And that puts them about where they want to be, but they said they're going to raise a couple more times. We'll wait and see what the economy does. But if inflation starts picking up, prices start going up, they're going to start raising interest rates to try to slow down the economy. If they put in too many interest rate hikes up, then they slow down the economy too much. And voila, we go into a recession. So that's the news on the Fed. So no surprise there. They did exactly what we thought they would do. We'll get some of the serious stuff out of the way. I'm telling you, I have some seriously wacky stuff today. I've got a preacher that needs a new private jet, and we're going to try and raise money for him. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you need a lot of preachers are looking for private jets out there. We've got Michael Cohen back in the news, Stormy Daniels back in the news. We have a slate of people who ran for office and won in the primaries yesterday, and it is an assemblage of probably the saddest group of losers you ever wanted to see, and yet these are the people that were elected to be our leaders. And you wonder why I say that the C-minus students are running government. These aren't even C-minus. These are sleazy people that have been elected. So we'll get into the sleaze factor in a little bit. Let me start with just the latest update on North Korea. So there was all the hubbub about it, and oh my gosh, they shook hands, and oh my gosh, and then there was a news conference, and it all happened in the middle of the night, night before last. Now that you've had a day to think about it, what do you think is going to happen? This can't hurt. It might help that they actually sat down. It's a lot better than my button's bigger than your button and I'm fire and fury and all the other stuff out there. But I've got to tell you, I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, oh, they are pulling our leg again. They are pulling our leg again. And the only scary part about that is if they are pulling our leg and they decide to do a switcheroo and try and play a game on President Trump, he's not the kind of guy who likes people playing games on him, and I'm a little afraid about how he might react. So Mike Rogers, former Homeland Security guy, he was on CNN this morning. He says, well, President Trump is off to a good start, But obviously, there's a lot more work to do.
We are a long way from North Korea not being a nuclear threat. Now, there were some good things that happened. I mean, I think the fact that we have dialogue. Remember, 6 months ago, we couldn't even pick up the phone and talk to anybody. We had no way to de-escalate any activity with North Korea. So all of that has been overcome. Now we have that. We have some access into North Korea. All of that is good. I do think the president needs to be extremely cautious about his sense of exuberance over this one meeting. We have seen this movie before, and they tend not to follow through. So we've got a lot of work to do yet.
Yeah, it sounds like Mike Rogers is on my page too, going, these guys, they lie through their teeth without any problem. And but I think he's whistling when he says, I wish the president wasn't so exuberant. Are you kidding me? We're talking about Donald Trump, the showman. Of course he's gonna make a big deal out of this whole thing, and it is a big deal. But the more I'm thinking about this thing, the more I think, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, because Mike Pompeo came out today and said that he hopes to achieve major disarmament, not complete, not total, major disarmament of the nuclear arsenal in North Korea during President Trump's first term in office. Well, that's another 2.5 years. I don't know. He said, he told reporters, we're hopeful that we can achieve this in 2.5 years. And if the talks stall, that we will resume joint military exercises. We can fire those back up again. We were talking about not doing the annual exercise. I'm okay with that. In fact, there's part of me that everybody keeps talking about, well, we have to protect our interests in that part of the world. China owns that part of the world. I'm not willing to just give it up, but I don't know how much of a policeman I want to be around the world. I think there's I'm not alone when it comes to, why do we have all these troops in all these different places around the world? I heard a tweet or something I got yesterday from somebody who said, well, if we get attacked here, we'll have all these bases around the world and they can retaliate. Yeah, what are they going to do? Are they going to hit the West Coast, the East Coast, the Mid, the Central, the South, the North? We're a big country. I'm not so sure. I think we're kind of stuck in World War II military strategy. So I don't know I'm hopeful, but it's way too soon to tell. As Mike Rogers said, it's just too soon to see what North Korea is going to do. My natural inclination is to not trust anybody, so I don't trust that they're going to come through. But in the past, they've hoodwinked President Clinton, President Bush. Nothing happened. When they hoodwinked them, we went, oh, we gave you all this stuff and you didn't follow your end of the deal. Oh, man, that's a shame. We don't like you anymore. I'm wondering what President Trump will do if this guy reneges. And I hope Mr. Kim has that sense that Trump is just impulsive enough to where you don't want to mess with him. So back to Mike Rogers. Says South Korea, oh, yeah. Remember South Korea? They're not pleased with the fact that we're stopping our joint military efforts.
By the way, this is their worst fear. So last fall, I was in South Korea, talked to a lot of their national security leadership. And the one thing that they kept saying over and over is they didn't want what they call Korea passing. And Korea passing is, they believe, is the United States, China, or other nations or other NATO nations making a decision on what happens with North Korea without including them. So you can imagine, I can only imagine what's going on in those meetings today when they find out by opening up the newspaper or reading a Twitter account that the military exercises that have been going on for decades in preparation of a North Korean invasion are no longer on the table. I am sure.
Yeah, they're not happy about it. I'm not happy about it. But that's what he said. And I don't blame him. So now we've got North Korea. The state-run media is saying, hey, the United States caved. They said that they are going to drop the sanctions. Isn't that great? Der leader got the sanctions dropped. And Trump's going, no. Actually, in fact, it was Pompeo said, no, actually, we did not. And they know that we did not drop the sanctions. We have to see some action on their part. So back to Mike Rogers. He says, hey, the president and Pompeo and all the people that are working on this thing need to get on the same page because they keep contradicting each other.
Yeah, I think this has been one of the weaknesses of the president and their foreign policy is there has been so many different messages coming out of the White House. Even the vice president went up on Capitol Hill and said, no, we'll still have some training. And then
right,
the White
but
House
not
corrected.
War games.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Well, right. And let me tell you, as a former military guy, these training exercises are critically important. They're not games. They're not meant to be provocative. But if you're going to have two military forces joining together to accomplish any mission, it is really, really difficult to do. And so that's why they do these training things. This is why they exercise those muscles to make sure that's still there. And it demonstrates to North Korea, hey, we still have this capability to surge troops into the peninsula anytime we want and work with our South Korean allies. So, and by the way, we do this in NATO as well to push back on the Russians. We want to make sure they understand that we have these commitments. So that provocative language, I think, needs to change a little bit on the president. And all of them need to be on the same page. If we're going to have success in any negotiations with North Korea, we all have to be saying the same thing.
Yeah. So the vice president said, no, we're still going to keep doing the military exercises. President said, no, we're not. I know. So here we sit in June of 2018, and it's anybody's guess what is going to happen. I heard one military retired general say, the reason we do these things is because the term of service for members of the military, U.S. military, that go over to South Korea and are stationed there, whether they're on the DMZ or some other place in South Korea, it's a two-year tour. So every 2 years, the people that were there 2 years ago are gone. It's a whole bunch of new U.S. military there in the last 2 years, and that's why they keep having these joint military exercises for the new people. So it's all a guess. I don't know what your guess is of what's going to happen, but I don't trust North Korea. 855-295-6600.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So, North Korea is doing what it's going to do, and I don't know. It's as good a guess as anybody's. I just don't trust them, and I'm afraid that what is going to happen is that they're going to try to pull the same stunt that his father and his grandfather pulled. And that may have worked on Clinton. It may have worked on W. But I'm afraid of what it will do, the repercussions, that if Donald Trump feels like he has been jilted. Because he's been talking about this get-together with Kim Jong-un like it was more than a first date. It was like he fell in love. Oh, what a great guy. He's terrific. He's honorable. He's smart. He's a great negotiator. He's a wonderful guy. And so he builds him up and builds him up and builds him up. And I don't think Donald Trump will do well if he is jilted. And this is like somebody that he has fallen in love with. Yeah, I know all the parts about the fact that the guy is one of the most evil men on earth. And yes, I think it was worth going and talking to him. The comparisons are already being made about Neville Chamberlain going to talk to Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler wanted to conquer the world. I don't think Kim Jong-un wants to. I think he just wants to have his little hermit kingdom there and just leave me alone. But I want to be one of the big boys. I want to be in the club. So I've got nukes. But one of the things Neville Chamberlain bought what Hitler told him. That was Chamberlain's problem. And he has ever since gone down in history as the example, as the icon of a sap, an absolute sap. And so you think Trump wants to risk going down in history as somebody who is a total sap? I know he doesn't care about all the other stuff, the people that don't like him. But he does not want to be made a mockery of. He doesn't mind if the Democrats and all that stuff, that's fine. He'll just punch back. But this would be historic. This would be another one. He would replace Neville Chamberlain if he keeps going down the path of, oh, I believe this guy. This guy's terrific and everything else. And then Kim Jong-un does something dastardly. Now, I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to pull a Hitler and go rolling into somebody else's country or fire off some nukes and try and hit somebody. But I do believe, I think there's a much better odds, if you are a betting person, the much better odds that Kim Jong-un will not denuclearize, the talks will stall, we won't allow inspections, he's going to do everything he can to hide everything and try and get those concessions reduced. And I hope we don't drop those sanctions on him until we see some actual movement. And the movement has to be with the people of North Korea. I can say the same thing about Barack Obama. He extended the olive branch. He reached out to the Castro brothers. He set up relations again with Cuba. And Cuba did nothing. So in a way, Castro pulled a fast one on Barack Obama. But I will give Obama credit on trying. I will give Trump credit on trying. My point is, I don't think Trump's going to let Kim Jong-un play a game with him. And he just may retaliate against Kim Jong-un if he feels like he has been jilted in his love affair with his bromance with Kim Jong-un. I made a mistake the other day. I said this was his first airplane ride. It wasn't. He actually went to school for a while, not very long, a year or two max, in Switzerland. So he obviously has been on a plane before, but not very often. And this was his, he's had three trips out of North Korea. It is a hermit kingdom that he's got. Went twice over to Beijing by train and now down on an Air China plane down to Singapore. He's not only a strange man, he's an evil man that will kill his own relatives, his own family, and starve in gulags at least a couple hundred thousand people. So that's my bet. I don't think he'll come through. My concern is, what will Trump do? We'll be right back.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. And so there's nothing we can do about North Korea until, give him the benefit of the doubt. But you better be on top of this. And Pompeo says he's going to be on top of it. He thinks they can get it done pretty darn fast. So I hope he's right. I'm just not a very trusting individual. All right. Yesterday was primary day in a number of states as we work our way through the primary season. And I was looking over some of the results. And normally on a primary, I'm not usually going to do a lot about it on this program because it's primaries. I mean, it's just somebody trying to get on the ticket to run against the other party in most places. But there's something going on in this country where the people that we are selecting can't blame anybody else. This is voters that are picking these people that are supposedly are the people that we think are the best and brightest of the group of us, to go and be the leaders of our governments. Let me start, if I may, with those of you in Nevada. So Nevada had their primary yesterday, and the guy who won the Republican primary for, what is this, for the state legislature, took home 43% of the vote. I've met the man before, sadly to say. His name's Dennis Hoff. He's the owner of the Bunny Ranch outside Reno, Nevada. He apparently has a bunch of brothels around Nevada. I'm not quite sure where they all are, but I knew of him only because when I worked with Alan Combs, Alan, may he rest in peace, Alan used to have Dennis Hoff on every so often, and he would come in to the studio area, and he would have with him always a couple of ladies from the Bunny Ranch. And it was just, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to kind of get the Lysol out afterwards. It just seemed, Alan had a lot of fun with it. But, so this is, I know prostitution is legal in parts of Nevada, but I was, I don't know, this is the best and the brightest? Is that right? So Dennis Hoff, who owns, according to the Daily Beast, owns a half dozen legal brothels in Nevada. He stars in the HBO adult reality TV series Cat House, won a Republican primary for the state legislature. He lives in the town of Pahrumpf, where Art Bell, may he rest in peace, used to live. He edged out a three-term lawmaker and a hospital executive. A hospital executive lost to the pimp in Nevada. And Hoff told the Associated Press, he says, it's all because Donald Trump was the Christopher Columbus for me. He found the way, and I jumped on it. He's the author of a book titled The Art of the Pimp. He's given himself the nickname the Trump of Pahrump. And he held a rally with Roger Stone. He will face a Democrat, Lucia Romanoff, in November and will be the favored candidate in the Republican heavy district. So, hey, the people of Pahrump have voted for Dennis Hoff to be their representative in the Nevada State Legislature. He largely aligned himself with President Trump during the campaign. He's down in Nye County, Nevada, which is southern Nevada. So there's a lot of similarities. We both made substantial amounts of money, and we both like pretty girls. That's his qualification. That's what he said. I'm not making this stuff up. So he described himself as a limited government, low tax, pro-business, states' rights, and live and let live conservatarian. All right, I like all of that. His website has labeled him as a much sought-after media personality and an often controversial straight shooter. So I have not seen an episode of Cat House, but apparently it is a reality television show that HBO airs documenting the lives of the workers at one of his brothels. His book disclosed the secrets of his outrageous marketing stunts and scandalous details of his friendship with porn stars, prostitutes, and politicians. So that's all it is, folks. I'm looking, I'm going, really? We got porn stars, prostitutes, and politicians all in the same sentence. And so he is now favored to win in November down in Nye County, Nevada. All right. We got that. Then What else do we have here? We got the South Carolina one I want to talk to you about. Mark Sanford, who used to be the governor until he went missing and said that he was hiking the Appalachian Trail when, in fact, he was down in Argentina with a girlfriend. And his wife found out, and everybody else found out. And if I remember right, I forgot to look this up. Didn't he resign in shame? I think he did. He just may have worked out his term and just left. I'm not running again. I'm not sure. But he comes back around. He has no shame, totally, because he comes back around, and he runs for the 1st Congressional District in South Carolina and wins a few years ago. So now he's a congressman. So now he's hanging around in Washington, D.C. And so hours after a last-minute broadside from President Trump, Sanford lost last night in his primary, possibly ushering in an end, as the Associated Press says, to a political career plagued by major scandals. So earlier Tuesday night, as the results were still coming in, Sanford suggested he was ready to throw in the towel. He says, I think I'll end up losing this election. He did. And right after the president got back from Singapore, Trump tweeted congratulations to the person that beat him. Forget her name I'm looking for here. Somebody, a lady in South Carolina. So here's a case of a guy who has a sleazy reputation, doesn't have any embarrassment about his peccadilloes, none whatsoever. Trump did not weigh in originally. Oh, Kate Arrington declared the winner. She's a representative. She accused Sanford of being disloyal to the president, portraying him as a Trump adversary, because he had become openly critical of some of the president's policies and statements. Trump did not weigh in until late, and he said, Mark Sanford has been very unhelpful to me in my campaign to make America great again. He's an MIA and nothing but trouble. So at the last minute, Trump says, this guy's nothing but trouble. But this is a guy who had no shame, and he was a rising star in the Republican Party until he got caught with the Argentine girlfriend. Runs for office again, wins. This time he finally lost. I got more of these. Really? Is this really the best and the brightest that we can find out there? 855-295-6600. Be right back.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call them like I see them.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
So the political part of this yesterday, I mean, I'm just blown away. Mark Sanford. Here's the other thing. Justin Amash, who is a congressman from Michigan, came out and was singing the praises of Mark Sanford. Justin Amash sent out a tweet saying, Mark Sanford's one of the most principled, consistent, and conservative members of Congress I've ever known. And unlike you, Mark is showing humility in his role and a desire to be a better man than he was the day before. Okay, but I don't. What's this principled and consistent conservative business? The guy has a sleazy track record, Congressman Amash, and you know it. What does that say about you if you think he's the best you've ever seen? I'll give you the full Donald Trump tweet. He says, Mark Sanford has been unhelpful to me in my campaign to MAGA. He is MIA and nothing but trouble. He's better off in Argentina. I fully endorse Katie Arrington, who for Congress in South Carolina, a state I love. She is tough on crime. We'll continue our fight to lower taxes. Vote Katie. Well, they did. And I thought, well, good for the people of South Carolina. So I thought that was great. People of South Carolina, good for you. You have principles. I don't know for those of you who have as your congressman, Justin Amash, in Michigan, but you got to wonder why he thinks that Mark Sanford's such an upstanding guy. I mean, yeesh. So then we get to the Democrat in Congress, and the guy's name is in the primary. He won the primary. His name's Archie Parnell, and he won the Democrat nomination in the race to represent the 5th Congressional District. But, and he won with 60% of the vote. This is even after admitting to beating his wife a long time ago, but he has admitted, yeah, I used to beat my wife. I don't think if you used to, I think that's kind of who you are. So they divorce records show that he was a college student. He smashed a glass door with a tire iron, entered the apartment where his then wife was staying, hit her multiple times. They called for him to drop out of the race. But the South Carolina Democratic Party chairman released a statement saying that his actions would directly contradict the party's values, and yet he went on to defeat three other candidates. So he is now the Democrat nominee for the 5th Congressional District out of South Carolina. So they got rid of a guy with a really checkered past on the Republican side. And they elected for their nominee a guy with a real checkered past on the Democrat side. So we got a pimp. We've got a guy who lies to the people and lies to his wife and has girlfriends on the side. We got a guy who beats his wife. What else have we got in the list here of candidates? I mean, you look at this stuff and you just. Doesn't it make you pause for a moment and go, what are we doing? Then there's a guy out of Virginia. And I don't know what you folks in Virginia think about Corey Stewart. But he has run for governor and hasn't seen the light of day. But he ran for U.S. Senate. And he won over other Republicans in the state of Virginia. And a lot of Republicans are saying, we don't want anything to do with this guy. He does not represent the Republican Party. He does not represent what I stand for. He is going to be in a race against Senator Tim Kaine, who has always done well in Virginia. So John Thune, number three GOP leader, said, sometimes in the primary process, the thing we try and get done is the most electable candidate on the ballot, and that doesn't always happen. So he expressed ignorance about the fact that Stewart has an affinity for stunts, like protesting outside the Republican National Convention, got him thrown out of Trump's official campaign apparatus. He also drew criticism for refusing to condemn white nationalists last year after Charlottesville. Senator Tim Scott says he has no idea who he is, not at all. Doesn't know who the guy is. So the Republican leaders were trying to block this guy, Corey Stewart. Rand Paul said he campaigned for the person who was running against Stewart, said he's very disappointed. Democrats in Virginia are ecstatic. But this is the thing, and I hear Karl Rove talk about this all the time, is that can we please get some good candidates? Not these damaged products that are out there and say, this is what represents our party. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Let's try. We're having phone problems, apparently. Let me see what happens if we can get Chuck in here and see how his phone line is. Chuck, hi.
Hey, Tom. Good afternoon. Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Ah, sounds good. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Home free. I had this, you know, pimps, prostitutes, politicians, all in the same sentence. You know, I got to tell you, prostitutes probably lie a lower percentage of the time than politicians do. What do you think?
I'm sure they work.
I don't know.
I'm sure they're very diligent in their work. Yes. I'm blown away by the people that these are the candidates that we have before us. What?
Right.
These are our leaders.
I tell
these
you,
these are the best.
Yeah. Well, they're not the best because the best won't apply anymore. Because who wants to go? I mean, years ago, people used to talk about who wants to stand up to the scrutiny. But now it's not just scrutiny. It's, you know, it is horrid what these poor people go through now. So, you know, I don't know why we wouldn't be surprised that only really these super bombastic people that could just care less get on the ballots.
I am sad. If this is just a sample from the primaries last night, you've got a very bad sample, and these are the people. Like I've said before, you and I, everybody out there in the real world, you start at the bottom as a young kid, and you work your way up in whatever your occupation or profession is. These people work their way to the top by just convincing 51% of the people in their neighborhood to vote for them, and all of a sudden they're a big deal in Washington D.C. Power, prestige, blows my mind.
Same deal. You know, it's the C-minus students with a good personality and people who do not care about veracity too often.
And people wonder why I criticize politicians. And my answer has always been, I don't care for almost all of them. I hope I've made my point. Chuck, thank you. We'll be right back.